Well, you can turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1 if you would like. Just have a few words to share with you this morning. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we are people gathered here today to honor you and to honor our Lord Jesus Christ, who within your plan and according to your purposes, you brought him and he came in such a humble estate to come as a baby, to take upon himself flesh and dwell amongst mankind. And Lord, we marvel at the time and the representation of this season that we celebrate. But God, if you would grant for us and by your Spirit, communicate to us on that deeper level the significance of what Christ's incarnation has meant to us. And as we focus and reflect on these things, and as we worship this morning and to declare his greatness, the great deeds that you have done, and the marvel and mystery of the work of Christ in your redeeming salvation for us. Lord, may the gravity of the gift that Christ has given be laid upon us, that we might stand and bow and walk and live today in the wonder of who you are. Lord, help us with the distractions of the mind and the many things in the Christmas season that take us away from the wonder of what you have done and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that he might be glorified today and that we might sincerely enjoy your presence today as your people. And we pray and lift these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, bless you. Thank you so much for coming out to be with us today. We're just delighted. It's what we celebrate. We don't know when it took place, but we celebrate the birthday of Jesus and the incredible things that God did. It makes sense to me that God would communicate to his creation, that we who were separated, it's clear that the glory of who God is and the holiness of who God is would be separated from humanity as it is. So as we look at these things and consider the birthday of Jesus and the significance of Christ offering of his self for us, for the scripture says that God made he who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so this morning, I pray, I hope that each one of you have come not in your own righteousness, but in the righteousness that Jesus Christ alone affords to us. Because that's what we need most of all. It's the greatest gift of all. But I want to consider this evening, it's easy to be distracted with the Christmas season and all the things that take place. And I don't know about you, but I've had some difficulty just even in preparing a message the whole week long. It's just difficult to keep focus on what the season is really about and a celebration of the life of Christ. And I think it would be in God's heart for you and for me to have that focus and to celebrate. So we're going to ask him for that. And in these moments as we sang praises to God and gave this offering of praise, it's a wonderful thing. That's a gift, is it not? To offer up praise to him for what he has done. So Christmas is about God's gift and God's intrusion into a world of mankind's rebellion and sin. The issues and difficulties of the ugliness of the human heart we see every day on a regular basis. But the glory of what Christ did for us is truly a marvel and a mystery and a wonderful thing. The scripture says that, and Paul, the apostle, prays that believers might know the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ that God has given to us. And I don't think that we can ever truly plunge those depths, but it behooves us as His creatures, as those who are created by God and those who have been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we plunge into those depths and that we take these times, these moments, especially the Christmas season, to consider the great things that God has done. So Christ is God in flesh. Christ came. The scripture says that the virgin was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ was born. The scripture tells us in some of the passages that you read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that we might behold the glory of God. And so we see in the perfections of Jesus Christ the glory of God, the divinity, and the full deity in a human body was expressed in our Lord Jesus Christ. For in Him all fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. We saw the perfection of His morality, of His ethics, of His kindness and mercy and goodness to us all. And the expression of these things have been measured up by no one. There's no one that has ever lived in the manner that our Lord Jesus did. And so He became flesh. He became a human being to dwell among us. And He became God incarnate. John 1:1-3 says, and it's part of the passages that we read together this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. Understand that this one who we look at and we celebrate as being in a manger, a babe, He is the one that created the world. It's just nothing that could come in the imagination of man to produce it. God did this marvelous thing, and it's inconceivable, it's unspeakable, it's inexpressible for us to embrace the reality of who Christ is and what He has done. But all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. This is who we're here to worship this morning. This is who we're here to sing praises to. This is who we're here to celebrate Christmas with and for. So I would ask you, what gift would you bring for one so awesome, so majestic, so wonderful, and so marvelous? And these are the things that we should meditate on and think about through Christmas. I want to just for a few moments take you to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were what we call theophanies. In other words, visible appearances of God. And often, those visible appearances were the angel of the Lord. And so the angel of the Lord is God. Okay, the angel of the Lord is God, and He speaks as God. There's things that we look at different passages. And here's Hagar, and we find that the angel of the Lord spoke to Hagar. And notice that, moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. So God and Hagar had a son named Ishmael, and Ishmael became the Arab peoples. They're more than can be counted. And notice that the angel of the Lord said, I will. So he speaks of himself as being God. So we have this appearance of God in the Old Testament, this angel, angel of the Lord, and it's deity. It's recognized as deity in a number of different places. He not only speaks as God, He also identifies Himself with God. And another passage is with Hagar and Ishmael here, where they were cast out The Lord God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from the heaven and said to her, "What is this matter? What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." And so God protected and saved Ishmael's life and told Hagar to trust in him. But the angel of the Lord spoke again and identifies himself with God. He says, "God has heard your voice." So the angel of God, the angel of the Lord, is a deity. Personally, I believe that the angel of the Lord was the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. There's a lot of different speculations or things about who he is, but I believe that the angel of the Lord was Jesus Christ before he became flesh and before he dwelt among us. One of the things that happens is in the New Testament, we no longer see or hear from the angel of the Lord. There's no further manifestation of him. Okay, and then a third point is he exercises the responsibilities of God. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, Here I am. He said, "Do not stretch your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So we know the story. Many of us of you will know the story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac, or at least willing to sacrifice Isaac. Now let me just say this for those of you that are troubled by this. Abraham believed God to such an extent because Abraham was told by God that Isaac, it was through this seed that he was going to make nations and that all the world would be blessed. So Abraham understood to the extent if he took his son's life, that God would give him back. He believed God. He was a man of faith. And in so doing, he was greatly blessed by God. But understand that even had Abraham swung the knife, Abraham knew that God's word is true and in good. And that's what we should know as God's people. God's word is always good. We can always trust and rest and depend upon him and his word. And so let's consider then that the angel and Christ were both with Israel in the wilderness. And so the angel of the Lord led them up. Passage of Scripture says, "Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, 'I brought you up out of Egypt, and I led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you.'" So the angel of the Lord was there, but look at Jesus Christ and what the Apostle Paul says about Christ. And he says, Christ followed them, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. That shouldn't be Colossians there. I made a mistake on that. It should be 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ." So Christ, according to the Scriptures, was with the angel of the Lord. He was with God. He was with the nation of Israel as they came up from the wilderness. And it's significant to that the rock that fed them, the water that sustained them, is identified by Paul as Christ. And so we have these really things to wonder about and marvel at in regard to God and to our Lord Jesus Christ. I left you some references in your notes there if you want to further study the angel of the Lord there. But let's go to Christ and let's consider. Christ came as a man and not as an angel. And the passages that we read from Hebrews chapter 1 and 2 there describe Christ coming as a man and God's plan to redeem you and to redeem mankind through not angels but man. And perhaps that's why the angel of the Lord no longer appears But when Christ came in flesh, and he came and dwelt among us, and he fulfilled the work of the plan of redemption, I believe in Hebrews chapter 1, that's what the Lord is speaking about. Man was appointed for the works of God's hands, according to those verses. And if you are there, or if you want to just look up on the screen, but one has testified somewhere saying that what is man that you remember him, or the Son of Man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and have appointed him over the works of your hands. So God's plan for your redemption was that it would come through man. And that makes some sense, doesn't it? Because angels can't die. The angel of the Lord could not die. But Christ taken on himself flesh, he could die in your place. And so the scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not anyone in this room or anyone of mankind that this is not true of. And the scripture also says the wages of that sin is death. And what that means simply is that means separation from God. Just as death, physical death, is separation from your loved ones, spiritual death is separation from the God that created you. And there was nothing that could bridge that gap apart from the work that Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And in the redemptive plan of God, he intended to do this work to save you, to redeem you, and to draw you to himself. So God's plan is beautiful and marvelous and wonderful thing. So man alone could substitute for you. He's the only one that could substitute to you for you through death. And Christ did that work. That's the ultimate. That is the ultimate expression of love. That he was willing to take your place. And I pray that this morning, as we worship him, as we express praise to God, and as we celebrate his birthday and the wonderful gift that God has given to us, that our reflection can be upon the extent of this love that God has for you. And I pray that you would be able to personalize that, to know that it was for you that he went to the cross of Calvary. And his love is so deep and so wide and so amazing that he's able to do that. And that God knows you in a very personal way, better than you know yourself. And that God, through Christ, has in the greatest possible way expressed that love to you. So embrace it through the Christmas season and embrace the gift. Hebrews 2:9 says, we do see him who was made for us a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste of death for everyone. The scripture says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given this man Jesus, this man that was in flesh, he went to the cross, died for our sins, went to the grave, and he was resurrected. And he's there at the right hand of the Father in flesh, in a resurrected human physical body, our Lord Jesus Christ. We worship him today, and we draw near to him. And we draw near to God through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made. And it's our celebration of the gift that God has given to you this Christmas and every Christmas that has ever been experienced by God's people. So he tasted death for everyone. Jesus Christ tasted death for you. The scripture says that he that beholds the Son and believes in him has eternal life. And so it's that trust in Jesus Christ to take your sin and his provision for your sin that brings you into a new relationship. The scripture says that God, that he, therefore, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, that we become, blessed be the God and Father who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again. So in trusting Jesus' word, Jesus said, he that believes in me has, present tense, you're given at that point of belief, eternal life. And I myself will raise you up on the last day. The question becomes, do I believe that Jesus has the integrity to say and to do what he said he would do? That's ultimately the big question. Can I trust him? And if you can, this worthy gift that God has given is yours. Now I want to ask and conclude with just this thought. What worthy gift will you bring for Jesus this season? Have you thought about it? It is his birthday, you know, and we're out rushing around getting Christmas presents and expressing love to people, rightfully so. It's a wonderful thing to do. But it's his birthday. And so what will we give him? Well, we're here this morning and we're giving praise and thanks in our worship. Anyway, what kind of worthy gift could we give to the Lord Jesus Christ? And I would submit to you that the best thing that you can give to Christ, the very best thing that you could do this morning is to give yourself to him. Now, if you're a believer, I certainly understand that you're saying, well, I've already given my life to Christ. I did it years ago, and I love the Lord, and I'm walking with the Lord. But the Scripture tells us that we're to present our bodies. We're to give ourselves to Christ on a regular basis. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, therefore I beseech you, brethren. He's beseeching them, urging believers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Would you think of doing that? Just mentally making a volitional decision, a decision that I present my body to you, I present my life to you, Lord Jesus, because it's rightfully yours. Not only did you create it, but you redeemed it. So I'm rightfully yours. And in that gift, there's a worthy gift for the Lord Jesus. And I think it would be the one that he would be most pleased with that you might give him. And then for those of you that have never trusted in Christ, you're saying, well, you know, this is a Christian thing. But there's a wonderful thing that Jesus spoke. And I think if you haven't given yourself to Christ, you haven't come to that place of trusting in him, I would ask that you consider Christ's words himself. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. So I would ask you this morning if you would consider in this season to sincerely and genuinely ask God. Ask and seek him. And knock at the door sincerely. Say, God, if you're there, reveal yourself to me. I want to see you. I want to know about this incredible person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know about the love of God and about the expression that Christ has given in this marvelous and wonderful and very worthy, more than worthy gift that he's given to mankind. And just a willingness to seek, to knock, to ask, would be a good Christmas present, a good thing to do for the Lord Jesus, should you so make that decision. Father in heaven, bless your people. Thank you that they're gathered here, Lord, that they love you and that they desire to come and worship you. And Lord, only you and your spirit within us can give that sincerity of worship and praise and do the work within us that is necessary. But I pray that through this Christmas season that you would take charge, that you would take control of our lives, that you would enable us, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, in our weakness, be pleased to bless us with thoughtful celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ and of this season. May we know the fullness of what life really is all about and the depth of your love and the depth of love that it brings about for one another because we embrace you and we embrace your love for us. As our Lord Jesus said, I leave this commandment with you that you love one another, that men may know that you're my disciples. And I pray that you would grant these things for us in the name of your Son, Jesus, and for his glory, and that we might offer back to you ourselves and present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary for each one of us, and the righteousness which he has supplied. And we pray these things in his glorious name. Amen.